recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Jared, I'm going to throw out the question that we discussed earlier in the program. Tennessee taking on Creighton tonight. If Rick Barnes and Tennessee win and they get to the Elite Eight, is that enough to quiet the tournament noise on Rick Barnes, or does it have to be the Final Four at least, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think it necessarily, unless they win the national title, I don't think it necessarily quiets the noise, only because, you know, it's not like Rick Barnes has had so many failures that it's not like one nice little run will outweigh it. That being said, I think that for some reason, I've actually been thinking a lot about this. It's like if they lose in the Sweet 16 to a good Creighton team that's well-coached, I assume they're good. They made the tournament, and apparently good teams in the Big East don't make the tournament necessarily. But if they lose to Creighton, it'll be this massive disappointment. And if they win and lose to Purdue, it'll be like, well, you know, they got there. And I guess I understand that because Purdue would be favored in an Elite Eight matchup, but I still feel like this is the special team. And the question is going to be, when are you going to get to the Final Four? And so I feel like big picture will excuse it if they get to the Elite Eight and lose to Purdue. But that doesn't, I guess, stop the narrative that Rick Barnes can't get to the Final Four. They need to get to the Final Four. And look, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to win tonight. And I'm sure it's going to be hard to beat Purdue. But they need to get to the Final Four.
Okay, so but let's say they win tonight, look good, great win. Now they're set up for, you know, now they have reached the point where this program has been one time, 14 years ago under Bruce Pearl, ever, never been past it. And they play an amazing game, they lose a heartbreaker, you know, Purdue's a great team. You don't think that quiets it to some extent?
I mean, I'm sure people are not going to be mad if they get to the Elite Eight and they lose. But I think, again, the question will be, can you ever get to the Final Four with Rick Barnes? And if you can't get to the Final Four with this team, then what team can you get to the Final Four with?
I think it's a fair point. So, Jared, it started off nicely for the Predators last night. It was 2-0 very quickly. Woo. I thought they were going to run them out of the building. I saw your tweet about how the Predators were on fire, which – Predators fans love an opportunity to jump on you. My goodness, they did that again last night.
Well, they haven't had 6 weeks to do that, so I mean, it's been, you know.
They've been building it up. They lose 8-4 last night. I thought the defense was bad. I thought the goaltending was bad last night. And look, they were going to lose again at some point here. So they've done it. The 18-game point streak is over with. What did you make of last night? And what I guess now intrigues you the most about this team now that they are dealing with a loss for the first time in a month and a half?
So I didn't want them to lose last night because I do think that, you know, catching Winnipeg, I think they're probably still going to catch Winnipeg, but I think that's probably a big deal, and a win plus a Winnipeg loss would have really put Winnipeg in some trouble. But I also didn't want them to lose last night because I was saving a topic for today, in which my topic was going to be, Ian and I were talking about this during a break yesterday, and I've kind of said this for maybe the last, probably since Saturday, I felt like this team needed to get their rear end spanked once before the playoffs. Like, I really, really felt like they needed to be embarrassed. And I was kind of hoping it would be closer towards the playoffs. I was even actually kind of hoping that it would be that they would win last night and then get embarrassed on Saturday, because it does look like Colorado is a very possible first round opponent. And one good thing that I feel if they end up playing Dallas in the first round is that there's no way they can be arrogant going into that series, having lost, you know, 9-2 to Dallas the last time they played them. And so I was kind of hoping, like, hey, you know, at some point down this draft, it's great to not lose. It's been so much fun. This team has played great. But at some point, kind of like what I said about the Vols before they got smoked by Mississippi State, some point they needed a game where they have to be reminded that their farts do, in fact, smell. And that was last night, maybe, hopefully. You know, there's still a little bit too much time before the playoffs. Again, I was hoping more around, like, April 13th, April 8th, you know, something like that, that would be the time that the Predators would get their rear ends kicked. But they needed this. I mean, I really think that they needed a game where they got their butts beat. I've seen too many times, specifically in the NFL, but I think this happens in all sports, where a team is so good for so long that all of a sudden they're just not used to losing. And it's like, the idea of losing is just removed from their head, and then they find themselves in a situation where they didn't think they could lose, and now they're down. And I felt like the Predators needed that desperation that they walked into this winning streak with. I felt like they needed to know that they have to play like that in order to win in the playoffs. And I think what happened last night, Robbie, quite frankly, is I think they got up 2-0. I think that they, you know, had the entire Vegas game behind them, you know, the, wow, we can do anything, we can come back on anybody. And then they got up 2-0 and they were like, well, this team sucks. And I think that went in the toilet for them. And I think that they need that to know, hey, like, you cannot not bring it. You know, when you play in the playoffs, you can't think that you're that good. And so I, as embarrassing as it was last night, I actually think it might have been a good thing.
So now are you moving on from a sweep in the Stanley Cup final to, like, they're only going to win in, like, 5 or 6 games? Have you downgraded your expectations?
No, I mean, the statistics that Adam Vingan pulled are the statistics that Adam Vingan pulled. The odds with which I'm going with are, again, that the Predators are more likely to make it to the Cup final. You're infinitely more likely to make it to the Cup final if, over the last 15 years, you've had a point streak of 17 games or more. You are infinitely more likely to make it to the conference final and the Cup final than you are to lose in the first round. And I'm still on that. I mean, what I like about them having gotten their butts beat last night, and Colorado, I believe, has lost 2 in a row now, is, you know, this is going to be, I think that this is going to be kind of a playoff game tomorrow night. And it'll give us an idea of where the Predators match up with this new-look Colorado team, because they came in here right before the trade deadline, got beat, and Colorado made massive moves. And Barry Trotz said to me after the deadline, he said that Colorado game was a game for him with which he said, okay, I've got a contender. He thinks it was a game for them where they said, okay, if we want to win the Cup, we're going to have to change things around. And they did. And until the last two, Colorado has been on fire. So I really do feel, and look, they lost to the Rangers last night. It was a really good team. But I really do feel, then they also lost to Montreal, who's not a very good team. But yep. I do feel like, you know, Saturday, this will be a big game. This could be very much a playoff preview, especially if you win, because Winnipeg's reeling right now. And it looks like if you win, you know, that would put Colorado, you know, they're starting to lose a little bit. And then maybe Dallas ends up taking that first spot.
So do you agree that Colorado is the least desirable first-round opponent for the Predators, or would that be somebody else in your mind?
So, I, you know, my priority with all of this is to stay out of the Pacific, because I do feel like, one, I don't think they can beat Edmonton in a second round, so let's just, you know, let somebody else do your dirty work and then get to the Western Conference Final, and if you have to deal with Edmonton, you have to deal with Edmonton. I think Edmonton is the worst matchup, period, and I know you can't play them in the first round, but I still wouldn't want to see them in the second round. I also think that, like, that 2016 playoff, you know, the Anaheim back and forth in San Jose, that yeah. really made a mark with me as compared to 17 when there were those quick flights to St. Louis and Chicago. And Dallas and Colorado are not really that taxing of a journey. So I am thinking that the most important thing is to stay within the Central Division to avoid Edmonton. And then I would prefer to play Dallas or Winnipeg, which you're not going to play Winnipeg, but I'd prefer to play Dallas or Winnipeg in the first round instead of Colorado. But I'd much rather play Colorado in the first round than have to go into the Pacific Division, play a very fast Vancouver team, travel to Vancouver, travel back to Nashville, travel to Vancouver, travel back to Nashville, travel to Edmonton, travel back to Nashville. Like, I think that that's bad for them. So I am not in avoid Colorado at all costs. Plus, you know, sometimes it's best to get these guys early in the playoffs than it is to get them late.
Someone on the text line suggests that you're going to fire Trotz tonight. I don't think you're going to do that. However, this point streak stat you got from Vingan, I feel like you're setting yourself up for big-time disappointment, man, and possibly big-time anger if it doesn't work out. Are you going to be able to be level-headed about this, Jared?
Well, I think that the point streak all started when, you know, I went with the team to St. Louis. So I'm thinking that if the team wants to get back to their winning ways, they're going to need to go ahead and send me up a private jet, fly me out to Colorado, and take me to the game tomorrow, and then I'll fly back with the team afterwards. And again, we're doing this for the sake of the team, not for me.
That's right.
Selflessness right here. I will say this, though. I thought about this last night. Somebody texted into the text line yesterday and was like, if Rand Carthon talked to you the way Barry Trotz did, you would praise Rand Carthon the way you praise Barry Trotz. And I was like, if Rand Carthon made the Titans a Super Bowl contender in his first year, I'd probably praise Rand Carthon the way I'm praising Barry Trotz.
There we go. Jared Stillman with us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock here on the program. Jared, enjoy yourself this weekend. Have fun. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck to your Vols, guys.
Thank you.
Vols.
Yes, thank you. Joe, big Vols guy.
Big Vols guy? Who, Jared?
You are. Yeah, you are.
I am? Oh,
well, you said you're Vols.
GB Joe, man. GB Joe.
Have at it. Embrace it.
Hey, look. Check it out, man. Check it out.
Ooh, orange bracelet.
So this is at the Marriott Renaissance Center. Instead of keys, they give you a wristband like you're at a rock festival. Kind of like it, though. But it's orange.
737-1025. We'll react to what Jared had to say. Take your thoughts on the Preds. The point streak comes to an end last night. What did we make of the game? And what's the next challenge now for the Predators now that the point streak has come to an end? We'll get into all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Now back comes Schmaltz, breaking the net, he scores. Schmaltz cuts in through the right circle, and the Coyotes, who had trailed 2-0, now lead 6-3. Perry uses his skates to keep it in. Down the side, broken up. And now Doan with the feed, going for the empty net and sliding it in, Matthias Michelli. Empty net goal for the Coyotes. The Predators' streak is over after going 16-0-2, defeated tonight by the Arizona Coyotes, and 8-4 is the final.
Preds lose last night. The point streak comes to an end. They fall 8-4 at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes. So the 18-game franchise record point streak is no more. And now the question is, Joe, where do the Preds go from here? So, look, first off, it was a bad game last night for the Predators. Defensively, they were not good. UC Saros let in two right away that he just most of the time is going to stop. I thought the fourth one... I can't even remember if it was the fourth one or the fifth one at this point. Whatever goal Bukestad's goal was, you know, he was all alone in front, so it's bad defense. I also thought it was a goal that usually UC Saros can make the save on. So nobody really all that sharp last night. I mean, they did score four goals. They had two right off the bat from Jason Zucker. The second game in a row, Joe, where everybody clicked on pick to click except Nick Kieser. So it got a kind of some momentum going right now in the Preds pick to click competition. But the point streak is now over, and really it was an interesting night last night. So the Predators lose, St. Louis and Minnesota both win. So you're only 8 points up on St. Louis. Now you've drawn even in games played. So there's still kind of the back pressure that's in the back of your mind of teams behind you. Vegas won last night against Winnipeg. So Vegas has leapfrogged LA for the third spot in the Pacific Division. LA's 3 points behind you for the second wild card spot. And then Winnipeg lost to Vegas. So Winnipeg is still 4 points behind you last night. And you're even in games played with Winnipeg. So depending on how important you think the third spot is of passing Winnipeg, a missed opportunity for you to gain ground on them last night, but at least they didn't win. It is interesting though. I mean, Dallas with another win. Dallas is 3 points up on Colorado. So right now, and this can change, but right now, Like, if you win and you get to the third spot, that may lock you in with a date with Colorado. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So, like, if you lose to Colorado in this next game, it and actually both ways, it actually helps you avoid them potentially because they, right? Yeah. Because,
yeah.
Well, no, I guess not. Because, no, yeah, never mind. Bad math. I was thinking, yeah, because obviously, if they are going to not get to Dallas, then you don't want to jump Winnipeg. I mean, obviously, all you can do if you're them, if you're the Preds, is just try to win. But, you know, I think the big thing is, yeah, like, you know, keep in mind there are teams behind you. So just like a team can go on an absolute tear, a team can, you know, like, you follow up a game like this and now you got to go to Colorado. Okay. We could easily be talking about two straight losses, right? So
yes.
I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but I'm just saying, like, you keep in mind that there are still teams behind you and that, you know, you haven't clinched anything yet.
Exactly. And that's to me is what's important right now. I mean, I've said this the whole time. Worry about making the playoffs first, and then you can worry about what your matchups are after that. And the Predators still have some work to do in order to clinch the playoff spot. Now, you know, we all knew they were going to lose at some point. They've now done it. And this is the first time they're going to have to respond to one in regulation since February the 15th. So, you know, in some ways, Joe, like, in some ways I do agree with Jared. Like, I think this has a chance to be good for them because I do think there reaches a certain point with a winning streak. And to their credit, they've handled it really well, or a point streak, where it's all anybody's talking about. And, like, you're scared to death to be the one that screws up the point streak. And now that it's over, you can kind of just go play hockey and get back to doing what you've been wanting to do, what you've been working towards. You know, having said that, I do think the way they were playing during the point streak was just totally, not to borrow their word, but that, I mean, they've been throwing it out there all the time. They were relentless. Like, they were all over people, and they were smothering people. And the one part I'll say that was concerning about last night was not that they lost, but it's just kind of the way they lost when you give up 8 goals. Like, they looked like a team to me that was spent a little bit. I mean, they were a step slow to everything. And look, Arizona is really young, and they got some guys that are really fast. But some of the decisions they made with the puck last night were really bad. They were out of position. They got torched one-on-one defensively a couple of times. And then UC Saros, when he needed him to make a few saves last night, didn't make them. So, I mean, it was kind of reminiscent of some games he's had earlier this year. And I wonder if that's a sign of fatigue. Is that just one of those nights that you chalk it up that he's been on such a great run lately that it happens? I'm interested to see, like, defensively how they respond after this and in goal with him.
Yeah. You know, like Colton Sissons with those comments, kind of like, I mean, you forget, but it's like, you're on a run like this, like you said, if that relentlessness and the way they want to play is such a huge part of it, isn't that, now they've talked about not being as banged up, but isn't that all in some ways more taxing, you know, over time? And then you have this momentum, but also you almost have this, like, you know, you can't let the streak die. So you have this crazy gutty comeback against Vegas. And, you know, really maybe some things have eroded a little bit in last week. So, I mean, the big key there that you said is Saros himself, you know, and obviously you don't want to, if you're the Preds, be all of a sudden back to like, okay, let's just leave it all to UC and, you know, he'll save us.
Right.
But you certainly don't want him to be. And I think Brunette's done it. I mean, he's even had here and there a little surprise Lankin and, you know, to throw in there, and he's done well. So I think they've been mindful of that, but obviously they need the best version of him and hope that this is just one of those just flush it games.
Well, look, if recent history is any indication, I wouldn't be shocked to see Lankin in play Saturday because they've thrown him to the Wolves like 10 times this year. Like, here's Edmonton. Here's Dallas on the road. Here's Florida on the road. Why not Colorado? Just add it to the list. I mean, I expect Saros to play, but, I mean, they have played Kevin Lankin on the road against some really good teams this year.
And he's had some really good games in some of those. So I wouldn't hate that decision if they did it and just give Saros just a little, okay, get into April, get a little bit refreshed, and then bring it back.
Tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game this weekend for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at toyota.com. The Preds' point streak comes to an end last night. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Where do the Preds go from here, and what's the playoff picture looking like? What is your most desired first-round opponent that's realistic for the Nashville Predators. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. The point streak comes to an end for the Preds last night. Taking your thoughts on all that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. So I talked yesterday, and I've been telling my friends this. So I told Caroline yesterday that I just wanted to see the Preds lose and see what they do after they lose, because I say you can ride – anybody can ride a hot streak and ride that dopamine cloud. We're all excited. Calling them cup contenders, you know, a few weeks after saying that they should sell is kind of unfair to that team. But to say it puts unnecessary pressure on them. But I'm interested to see how they play Saturday. I think it's the most important game of the year, in my opinion. I think you'll know more about your team than you know from the 18-game win streak by how they respond on Saturday, because they haven't had to face adversity like this. They haven't had to lose. So I want to see what, you know, it's not to say they're trash if they come out and lose to Colorado. They're a good team, but I would like to see them not come out super flat. So if they could come out and actually put up a good fight against Colorado, I'll be satisfied.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, I do think, Joe, when you're late in the season – and you start to go up against teams, particularly on the road, that you could see in the first round, I do think those games carry a little bit more meaning to them. And beyond just the obvious of the standings points, like the Predators are still in a place where they need points. Like they need as many points as they can get to make the playoffs, get into a playoff spot. But I am interested to see how they respond on Saturday. And really, I think more than anything, like, what's the energy level look like? Because I do think this has been kind of a taxing run for them. We've talked about that. You got to find a way to dig through it. I mean, they've barely been practicing for 2 weeks. Like, they landed the other day in practice in Arizona. And, you know, I have no idea whether or not that was a full practice because I wasn't there. But they've had very few full practices over the course of the last couple of weeks. And you could tell Andrew Burnett is trying to manage it the best way he can, but it's been a taxing schedule, and this winning streak and point streak that they put together, they've been playing about as hard as you can play. And that catches up to you after a while. So now that the point streak is done and you're going up against a team that is an elite team in the league that you could see in the first round on Saturday, what does your energy level look like? And can you rise to the occasion and compete with Colorado on Saturday, which, by the way, you're 2-0 against them this year, the first time you're seeing them on the road. Joe's first mute of the day.
And then like a long time to like figure out how to unmute. Jeez. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you, that last time was so impressive, but it was also like the vibes were good. So now all of a sudden you get a disturbance in the force. You know, so what does that mean going into the game? I mean, I look at this and I'm like, yeah, it's just not like a game like last night. That's like then when you would like it a little bit easier opponent to follow it right up to immediately, you know, flip it around. Now, yeah. Also, I'll say this, though, if they do respond and go beat Colorado after this, then it's really just a blip on the radar, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, I mean, it's a grind. I think the way they play, maybe in some ways, you know, and the way that they have played that system, you know, is taxing and all that stuff. I mean, you know, they're obviously not alone in things like travel and not having practice time and just, you know, the grueling nature of the NHL schedule. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond to this against a team that certainly, if you're the Avs, you're like, come on, you can't beat this team one time all year. You know, I mean, they're going to be, I would assume, very up for this game, and they're in a race themselves to try to win this division.
I got a texter that says, I always knew when they finally lost, they'd do so in a way that makes me doubt how good they are. The sting of getting bounced from the Coyotes in the second round of 2012 is still there. That howl after goals. I said this earlier in the show, Joe, like we probably should have known Arizona was going to be the game. I mean, it's really, for whatever reason, that place has been a big problem for them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like of all the things that have changed, have improved, if there's such a new era feel, it is a new era and it feels that way, with this team and this season and everything, but not that part. For whatever reason, the Coyotes are like, you know, it's like the opposite of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Like, the Coyotes are the ones who always have the upper hand no matter what.
They are, and it's especially in that building. Like, it's really weird just the foothold they have on the Predators in that building. But, I mean, look, every now and then that can happen, right? Like, they got caught in basically a track meet last night. And I still think the Predators, with as fast-paced as they want to play and with as smothering as they want to be defensively, I still don't know that a track meet is quite the way that they're going to be successful. It just kind of felt like, for whatever reason, and I'm, you know, give Arizona credit for this too, like, their puck decisions were bad last night. And making bad decisions with the puck puts you in bad spots defensively. And I think that happened to them a couple of times last night. The real question here is, like, Saros and Lankinen both, but, you know, Saros is the main focal point because he's going to be the starting goalie and get the lion's share of the starts here. They've been so good now throughout this stretch that they haven't had a ton of rough outings or rough goals to put behind them. Can Saros brush that one off last night, and can he brush it off quickly? Because sometimes these things linger with goaltenders. For the most part in his career, they have not lingered. Now, he did go through about a half a season stretch this year where he wasn't very good. So can he shake off what I thought was a subpar performance from him last night quickly?
But that's the thing, yeah. And it's that. So is would you rather? I'm sure with him, his answer would be, "Let me back out there." But if you're Andrew Brunette, like, would you rather give him that opportunity and say, "Let's wipe the slate clean," because you know where you're going, who you're playing, or is it like, you know what? Let's do a little reset and Lankinen, let's get you ready for this one. I kind of, as we talked about, I'm kind of drifting toward. I kind of like that idea in this game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it would not be the first time they've done that this year with Lankinen going in and playing against a really tough opponent. There are a lot of Predators fans that were mad that Lankinen didn't start last night. Now, that was, they weren't mad before the game. They were mad during the game when they were down, you know, 6-3 at one point. So just got to get in front of the anchor. That's all I ask. Don't second guess it.
Exactly. And also, I guess Jared, you know, as someone texted, you know, he's going to fire Trotz. I mean, I think he's built up some equity with him, you know, and he's built up some, you know, like some patience there with Jared, but you know, you're only a couple bad ones like this away from all of a sudden having a very different tone in the afternoons. I'm just throwing it out there too. I mean, they don't want that.
Probably so. But Andrew on the text line really wants to play the Dallas Stars. I want Dallas so we can sweep Dallas because F Dallas. This is from Andrew on the text line. A lot of hatred for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah. Well, I'd like that matchup better than some. The Preds fans just especially hate Dallas. I mean, I guess, you know, 2019, they beat them in a playoff series. You got Duchesne now. Is that a thing that makes,
well, Preds fans, they definitely don't like Dallas. That's for sure. You know, the Winter Classic played.
Yeah,
into
the
it
Winter
too.
Classic. Yeah, that's right.
Was,
yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty good little rivalry for a while there. I mean, it still is to some degree, even though the cast has changed up a lot, but yeah, I think there's a nice little hatred for Dallas among Predators fans. It's not like Anaheim or Chicago in the day, but it's a healthy one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the blue, you know, Blues, you know, you kind of hate them too always. Drew in Columbia says, I got tickled at fans online acting annoyed at the Coyote Howl. They scored a bunch of goals, and we do that with the Cat Growl. Our goal song is by the same artist. Now, the goal song is not by the Black Keys, but a little self-awareness, please, folks. Well, that's the thing. If you're an NHL team and your stuff is annoying, that's what it should be. I mean, like the Blackhawks goal song is the most annoying song in the history of music. And it's a great choice by them, right? Because you don't want to hear, bah, 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 you know, I mean, you don't want to hear.
That happened a lot this year, but yeah.
Well, that's true. And I like it. I mean, you know, think about how much that must just grind on opposing teams and
fans.
Oh,
I can tell you opposing players absolutely hate it.
Oh, and I don't blame them.
That's the goal, right? Like, I think that makes it better. When the opposing fan bases and players hate your goal song, I think that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. So you let them score 8 on you, you're going to be annoyed.
Yeah, you're going to hear it a few times. And that's on you. Got to play a little bit better than that. So I'm interested to see. It's a huge one. tomorrow in Colorado. We're going to get to our picks in that in weekend winners coming up a little bit later in the program. But I think a big, you know, if they lose, it's not the end of the world. But I do think it's an interesting litmus test of, all right, you finally lost the game in regulation, and your reward is a team that is one of the elite teams in the league that you could see in the first round. What are you made of? How do you respond to it? That's going to be an interesting way to see how the Predators react to that tomorrow in the altitude, by the way, which they've not had to deal with all year long to this point in Colorado. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, there it is, my little mint pocket. I have it. But it's okay to have your own mints in your pocket, right?
Yeah, you
okay,
everybody? You didn't distribute them to anyone else?
No, I'm done with that.
Anybody want my pocket mints? Pocket mints. Going once. Going twice. Anybody want one? It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, live from Detroit, Michigan, where Rexroad does in fact have pocket mints, but he's kept them to himself like the good American citizen that he is.
Yes, if you weren't listening earlier, I did take a pocket mint in my shirt pocket into the Tennessee locker room right before I went in there. So I was going to spend, you know, a good bit of time with Zakai Zeager. I was like, you know, I don't think I want to subject Zakai Zeager to any bad breath, so I put a nice pocket mint in my mouth, and I had a nice fresh breath in the locker room. But I'm not offering to anybody else. I've been ratioed by everybody in the world, basically, coworkers, family, you guys. So
really,
yes.
Nice growth on your part. It's good.
Yes, thank you. So I'm keeping the pocket mints to myself. Now, this rant, this is going to be fast. I just have something quickly that I want to say, a little story from yesterday. And I want to make this clear. This is not a political rant. I am not talking about politics, okay? As soon as I say that, Robbie's always like, oh, boy.
Oh, God.
So, yesterday, the Gonzaga team bus, the team plane, an Allegiant Air flight, that landed in Detroit. And they got on three buses. And this effing moron named Matt Maddock, who is a state legislator here in the state of Michigan, let me tell you something. There are some buttes in the state of Tennessee, but I can tell you, we have some absolute buttes up here who are elected officials. I mean, just brilliant. This guy's from Milford, Michigan. He posted a picture of these buses with the Gonzaga basketball team and the coaches and the trainers and all them getting on. And he tweeted this. He said, quote, happening right now. Three buses just loaded up with illegal invaders at Detroit Metro. Anyone have any idea where they're headed with their police escort?
End quote. Oh, God.
I mean, boy. I guess because it's people like that don't all have white skin. Like, I don't know. He got clowned for that, as he should have. There was like, this was like kind of a buzz at the arena yesterday, too. Like, you know, what? Like, does Gonzaga, I haven't even seen if they really said anything about it. I mean, it's like, okay, there's a moron who lives in Michigan. Great, good, breaking news. But he got ratioed, and he actually doubled down and didn't apologize. So I just want to say, again, quick, not a political statement, just a quick rant. And I want everyone to know that Michigan State Rep Matthew Maddock, Republican from Milford, is a verified, certified moron. Congratulations, Matthew.
Good on Gonzaga for taking the team bus. Good to know that they arrived with the team bus, though. Glad to know there's eyes on them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tell you, man. You know, you got to keep an eye on those guys. Boy. Yeah, so that's just sort of – it was a good reminder. I mean, we've had – you know, I obviously worked in Lansing. And, again, you know, independent of party or anything like that, we had some lawmakers – I mean, we had this guy named David Jay, who I think was like he had like eight scandals going at once. If anybody is familiar with Michigan, David Jay, J-A-Y-E, like he was like, I think he was like, well, I don't even want to say because I want to subject myself to lawsuits, but like it was like 2 years of stories about like all of the like gross stuff that he was doing, and he was an elected rep. I mean, the bar is at times just amazingly low, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's
We should run for office.
What would our platform be? We'll hand you all pocket mints.
Probably not.
If I get some really big pocket mints with like Rex on them or something, would people eat those?
Well, I don't know.
Last for a long time.
I mean, if things go the way that you think they're going to go today, Gonzaga pretty quickly going to be back on that bus.
Exactly. Now, I think they will be. But, you know, maybe this will motivate Gonzaga. Maybe it will. You know, Gonzaga could win tonight, man. I mean,
they got a good coach, man.
First of all, they haven't been very good this year. They're not, you know, they're really not very good, but they're here because they went nuts shooting the basketball. I mean, that's a Gonzaga team. They can shoot the heck out of the basketball. So, I mean, if you're Purdue, we talk about the pressure on Tennessee. I mean, it is massive on Matt Painter and Purdue. They got Edie to come back for another year after last year's disaster. I mean, and also I'm one of the people, along with a lot of people, who are like, oh, there you go. Just like Virginia in 18, and they're going to come back in 19 and win it. And I've pointed at them all year that they're going to do it. Talk about massive pressure. So if Gonzaga comes out tonight and just starts raining threes, I mean, they could absolutely win that game.
They're only a 5.5-point favorite, Purdue. Only 5.5-point favorite against Gonzaga.
That's interesting. A little bit surprising, actually.
Whereas
has UConn, that moved?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it's been close to that the whole time. Whereas UConn, even against Illinois, who's a pretty good team, coming up tomorrow, 8.5-point favorite because they're just destroying everybody left and right.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, that to me is like, God, jump all over that because I think Purdue's going to beat them by about 12, 14 points. But again, maybe the Zags are going to be motivated by Matthew Maddox, you know? Maybe that's all in their locker room, you know?
Did we just get a sneak preview of one of your weekend winners picks right there, I think?
I think we did. I mean, actually, I wasn't even sure I was going to do that, but now it might be my lock.
Maybe I'll go Gonzaga. I mean, we're just assuming Purdue is going to match up with the winner of Creighton, Tennessee. Maybe we're selling Gonzaga short. They've, you know, a very experienced coach in this NCAA tournament.
Well, you know, Mark Few was asked this, and it wasn't that long ago. Mark Few was the guy who was, wow, Gonzaga, and you got all these, you know, great teams, and they're seeds, and they don't get to the Final Four, you know? And he finally broke through. So it's interesting that he's the guy here with that experience. And again, I know Rick Barnes has been there, so it's different than Matt Painter. But, I mean, the pressure on Matt Painter, Purdue, because, you know, I mean, they have a good team. They have some good players. They're good. But it's the 7-4 most dominating player in college basketball that makes everything work for them. You take him out of there, and they're just a good team, you know? Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, they're probably an NCAA tournament team, I guess. So, I mean, like, the pressure, not only – you talk about, like, with Tennessee, when will you win? They have Connect, so it's the same kind of thing. I think it's a little bit different, though, a little bit more intense for Purdue.
Tune in 102.5, 106.3, the game this Sunday for coverage of the Toyota Owners 400. Coverage will begin at 5 o'clock, race starting at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get into all things Titans with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.